with God's people in His presence for our worship. We are thankful that we just have this wonderful God-given opportunity to worship. We're thankful for any visitors we have among us. Thank you for being here. We're honored that you're here. It encourages us. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And just a couple things before we begin the lesson. We want to make sure we thank Brother Klingbeil for, he's got the Remember to Pray For list out there. Added to the list, of course, of the different nursing homes and hospitals, so you can make contact with folks. But grab one of those. Make sure you add those folks to your prayer list. Make sure you give them a call. Send them a letter. Do whatever you can to encourage them. Go visit them if you can. But let's be encouragers, right? So grab you one of those. We appreciate the work that he did to create that. Also, I wanted to let you know, the Bible studies that I'm doing over at Maple Village turned out very well. A lot of great contacts. A lot of individuals, I believe, prayerfully, are very close to making a decision about the gospel. Feel free to come over and join the study every other Thursday, 10 a.m., and there will be one this Thursday at 10 a.m. And also, we need to be looking for a volunteer for Sunday morning to run over there. I have three people right now that will, starting next Thursday or next Sunday, want to drive over here for worship services. So keep that in mind. If that's something you're able to do, it might take you 10, 20 minutes. I don't know. It's just right across the street using the church van. So I'll be thinking about that if you can participate in that or rotate with some folks. Worship is the submission of all our nature to God, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the surrender of will to His purpose, and all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable of, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness which is the source of all our sin. Now, of course, we've been going through a sermon series on worship. And I've made the decision I want to do two lessons on singing. This is part one next week, Lord willing, part two. Now, this morning's lesson is more focused on the why we sing. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how we sing. We're going to look into the evidences, mention some evidences of why we sing the way that we sing, right? It's not just a tradition, right? We're people seeking to be pleasing to God in our worship. So we'll talk about the why next week, or the how next week. We're going to talk about the why this morning here. So let's talk about pits and rocks and songs. But I want to read real quick. Just a portion of an article, big news event, several years back, maybe you remember it, about nine Pennsylvania coal miners. They're working in a deep mine, and it was a newer mine, but they broke through to an older mine. It was filled with water, they didn't know it, and it started to flood the newer mine that they were in. And so they returned to the original place that they were. And the water started to rise, so their noses and their mouths were slightly above water at times. And they tied themselves together. They wrote goodbye notes to their loved ones and friends, and they waited for the inevitable. But as they cried out to God and encouraged one another, good things began to happen. An air vent was created by rescue workers to give them fresh air. Drill team was brought in to make way of an escape. And then a wonderful sense of humor began to buoy their hopes. And one of the trapped miners here in this article It says started cracking jokes and saying such things as, boy, imagine the overtime pay that we're going to get for this. And they were eventually rescued, and everyone rejoiced. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I want you to read it with me again, our scripture reading earlier. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. And the psalmist writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. You know, this event right here that David, the psalmist, writes about, you get thinking about it. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, sometimes we lose our song. I know it's happened to me. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've lost your song, if you will. Maybe you have in the past. Maybe you're here this morning and you've lost your song. Right? You see, sometimes we need a new song. Sometimes it's the pressures of life, pressures of family, pressures of illness. Right? Sometimes our faith becomes mundane. We get too comfortable, like Brother Jimmy was praying about. Sometimes we get in a spiritual rut. Have you been there? I know I have. Sometimes the fact of the matter, this life just snatches away our song, and we need a new song. You know, our singing and worship sometimes becomes routine and mundane, and maybe sometimes we feel like we don't have to sing or we don't even want to sing. I think David here found himself in that situation where he was bogged down with the problems that he faced. And remember how powerful his song had once been. Right? Are you looking at this here in your Bible? Maybe David's worship, like ours, at times, you know, lost its meaning. And this is made evident in our singing in the worship service. Right? And so I want you to think about in this lesson, we got three images in these three verses. These will be the three main points in our lesson here. And so let's do that. Let's take a look at these three images here. Of course, the first one is a pit. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my step. Now, David here, he's describing himself in this pit. It's watery, miry, clay, right? Translations are a little bit different, but it's speaking about the same thing. You get that imagery, right? Down there at the bottom of that pit, it was full of clay or mud and just sticky. He couldn't get out. That's the imagery. And David's figuratively describing a very important time in his life when he was in a pit and God lifted him out. God delivered him from trouble and restored his song. Now, we're not sure what this pit may have been, but we can look at David's life and we can see some possible things that he was describing here. You know, maybe it was when King Saul ran him out of the palace and tried to kill him. You know, maybe there's an issue in your family life right now that caused you to lose your song. Or maybe like David, you know, there was a time when his son Absalom tried to kill him. You know, maybe a family problem that you're going through has stole your song. Maybe David here is describing being in that pit because of his sin. Right? His sin with Bathsheba and turned into murder. Listen, if you have unresolved sin in your life, you're going to be in a pit. That's guaranteed. You know, maybe sin has caused you to lose your song. Looking here at our text, you know, whatever that pit may have been for David, it was uncomfortable, it was dark, it was wet, and it was impossible for him to get out of that pit without God helping him. right? And he prayed for a new song. Right? When we think about singing in this sermon series on worship, you know, singing with the Spirit, singing with the understanding, you know, these things go hand in hand. We learn that we must remove the distractions, the hindrances, the obstacles, whatever it is that has stolen away our song. And so we must know options. We must remove those things that steal away our songs. And in the avenues of worship that God has prescribed for us to get that praise and adoration that should be on our hearts to Him, we see that singing is very, very important. Now, of course, as we're going through this, we've studied there's five avenues of worship that God has given us in Scripture. You know, and I can't make the mistake of thinking, well, I don't really need a new song, or singing doesn't matter. And you know, don't be mistaken. Don't think that God will accept four out of five avenues of worship. Right? God's not going to say, Sean, well, you got four out of five right. You know, I know you had a tough week. The psalmist here, David, he cried out with urgency and sincerity while in the pit. And the good news is, God made a way of escape for him. Like David, we need to cry out to God to help remove those things that have stolen away our song. We must cry out to God then to also give us a new song. Our second image that we see here, I want you to reread with me verse 2. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. You know, when you're in a dark, muddy, wet, slimy pit, you can't get any secure footing, right? And the more you move around, the more, with this imagery, you'll get stuck, right? And that just makes sense in a physical way as we think about this imagery here. And so the psalmist here, David, he was so overwhelmed by his rescue, he thought of a rock. He thought of a rock when he thought about God's deliverance. Right? And that he wouldn't have to sink anymore. And he could move about freely, unrestricted, on a secure foundation. You know, living in the world that we happen to live in, it brings about a lot of pits, right? Think of the words of Jesus here, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Right? Proper worship lifts us up. Proper singing helps with proper worship here. You know, and if we're singing as we should, if we're singing as a people that have been delivered from certain death, right, from the pits of sin and darkness, it's going to keep us from sinking back into that pit. Now also, if we don't sing as if our life is dependent upon the rock, and as if we haven't been rescued from certain death from that pit, we're going to be very susceptible to falling back into that pit. And so we stand on the rock, we trust in the rock, and we sing as if our life depended upon the rock. That's how we are to sing. Remember, we're talking about the why we sing. And a question that we need to ask ourselves and be honest is, does my singing reflect an individual that understands what I've been delivered from? The certain death that's in that pit. Brethren, if we're saved, we need to sing like it. We need to sing like a soul that's been rescued from certain death. The third and final image that we're given here is about a song. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. I'd like you to go back in your Bible there to Job chapter 38. And listen, understand that you were created to sing. You were created to sing. Right, we sing in the shower, we whistle on the way to work. Right, we stop and we listen to the birds singing in the tree. How do we teach our children to learn things? Through song, right? We want them to learn the alphabet. We don't say, this is A, that's B, that's C. No, we teach them a song, right? A, B, C, D, right? We want them to learn the books of the New Testament. We turn it into a song. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and letters of Rome, right? You were created to sing. It helps us remember. And so we come to our Bible, we find the God of creation, the God of redemption, is the God of song. And the universe, when it was created into existence, look at verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. When God brought the children of Israel out of bondage, and Exodus 15, what do? They sang the song of Moses. We're told in the Revelation that someday when God's people, when us, when we're gathered before the throne, what are we going to do? We're going to sing the song of the Lamb. You were created to sing. God wants you to sing. Many times the distractions of life, the pressures of life, we repress that desire and that need to sing. Or you get stuck in a pit. We see that our singing is evidence of our life. And by our created nature, we are to sing. Right? That's why God, when we're commanded to sing in the Bible, either by direct command, divine example, necessary inference, that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. I understand the pit that I've been saved from. I have praise and adoration in my heart because I know that I've been saved. And boy, I can't wait for the first day of the week to gather with my brethren. And that praise and that adoration is going back to God in the way that He prescribed. And the way we're talking about this morning is singing. You know, it's been said that the most beautiful music in all the world is the blending together of human voices. Mechanical music's the opposite. Let me just say this kind of as a side note. It's cold, it's heartless, it's lifeless. And the only reason it makes a noise is because someone beats on it or plucks its strings. Right? It doesn't come from within that which was created to sing. God didn't make it as such. Rather, that's an invention of man. It's a substitute. We need to ask, which would God prefer? If you would, go over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, also, let me say this, kind of as a side note, and I won't chase this rabbit too far. You know, in my opinion, another reason God has not authorized mechanical music in worship. Listen, God only needs to tell us what to do. He doesn't have to list the 10 billion things not to do. Kind of like with Cain and Abel, right? We talked about them. He told them what he accepted, therefore it excluded everything else. Abel brought what God had said. Cain did not. Right? And so one of the things that I think is important for us to think about, my opinion, is, you know, when singing is emotionless, when it's apathetic, when it's heartless, it's the canary in the coal mine. We can hear it. There's something wrong with the singing. That's an indication of a problem. But if you have instrumental music, what can you do? I can cover it up, right? I can turn the volume up on the electric guitar. I can beat harder on the drum or whatever. You can cover it up. And to me, that's just a common sense thing and thought I'd throw that out there for you to consider. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's God designed, that's God approved, that's God commanded. Right? So we must sing with the Spirit, we must sing with the understanding. No one helps us understand this better than the psalmist David. He says, put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. There are 13 New Testament passages that speak of singing. And I put this on the bulletin in the back in the summary there of the sermon, the outline. Three of those are from the book of Revelation, speaking about singing after the day of judgment. Three are incidental, but there's five passages in your New Testament that speak of how we are to sing. Two of those are in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul is addressing the worship abuse of the church of Corinth. And we see here, we'll read it in a moment, that first of all, both spirit and mind are involved in worship singing. And then also, secondly, everyone is to understand and benefit from that singing. Right, singing edifies, singing strengthens. I want you to read with this with me here, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. Brethren, if we're saved, we must sing like it. If we've been lifted up out of the pits of sin and certain death, let's sing like it. You know, singing is, it's heartfelt praise to the Lord. And we've been given a brand new song, so let's sing. In fact, you're so happy to be out of that pit, standing on a rock, singing a brand new song, then your rescue story becomes a great example to others that are still in the pit. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God, many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Worship and song should be given with a willing spirit and understanding mind and a feeling heart. And its purpose, of course, is to express religious feelings, to edify those who hear you sing, and to praise our God who has lifted us up out of that pit. We worship in song as God has ordained. Right? And we must worship as God has commanded, as the apostles have exemplified. And when we do that, we do it for the right reasons, for the right motives. Our God, the one who's on his throne, high and lifted up, is magnified. Our brethren are edified. And those who are still in the pit, they see that. They see you singing with the Spirit, with understanding. They realize, you know, I want to have what they have. I don't like it down here in the pit. You know, many times people in the pit, they don't realize how much hope and light is there is outside of the pit. But when they see you singing it and you're reflecting Christ in your life, you know, I want to have what they have. I'm tired of being in this pit. Singing praises is not a performance. It's not a duty. It's not mindless ritual. It's not a meaningless mumble. We're going to sing with the Spirit. We're going to sing with the understanding. And call to those who are still in the pit to come out and join us in our song. So what do we learn this morning? Here's our conclusion. I want to give you some things to think about, and then I'm going to read you something to end this lesson. And so we think about our text here. You know, what do you have to do in order to sing this brand new song? What do you got to do? Right? In short, we need to do what David did. Right? Look at your Bible here, Psalm 41-3. Like David, we need to admit that we're in a pit. You can't be rescued unless you realize you're stuck in a pit. Right? There's a lot of people, right, who live in that pit of moral darkness and discomfort and emptiness, and they don't even realize they're in the pit. They don't realize, again, how much light and freedom and hope there is outside of the pit. Number two, like David here, we need to ask for God's help to get out of the pit. You see that? You see, God wants to deliver you from your personal pit of sin and darkness. He wants to rescue you. He wants to deliver you. Just admit you're in the pit. Ask God for help out of the pit. crying out to God, lift me out of my pit. And then third and finally here, like David, come to God in obedience. God is waiting to rescue you. He wants to rescue you. I appreciate the fact that one of the songs that we sang a moment ago, of course, was from Psalm 51. David's basically his admission of being in the pit of sin. Right in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's David admitting he's in the pit, admitting that he can't get out of the pit without God's help. And understand this, a lot of people make a mistake here. God will not force you out of that pit. That's your choice. He's going to offer you his hand. You grab that hand out of trust and obedience, he will lift you out of that pit. He wants to. He will gladly rescue you. He'll gladly give you a brand new song. Now, some people might ask, what does this have to do with singing? My response is everything. Absolutely everything. When you come to that point, you realize what you've been rescued from, everything changes. You're going to sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding. You're going to worship in truth and spirit, right? Everything. It has to do with everything. So we think about that this morning here. We sing praises to the one who's worthy, the one who's on his throne, high and lifted up. We sing praises to the one who saves us. And we're going to sing as we should when we realize the depth of the pit that we've been rescued from. The realization of that, it'll be worth more than a thousand sermons from a thousand preachers. Now, let me finish with this right here. It's titled The Pit. And I don't think you could classify this as a poem. I don't know. But let me read it to you, and the lesson is yours. Someone once wrote about a traveler who fell into a deep pit and couldn't get out. Several persons came along and saw him struggling in the pit. The sensitive person said, I feel sorry for you there down in that pit. The reflective person said, it's logical that someone would fall in that pit. The aesthetic person said, I can give you some ideas how to decorate your pit. The judgmental person said, only bad people fall into pits. The curious person said, tell me, how did you fall in your pit? The perfectionist said, I believe you deserve your pit. The assessor asked, are you paying taxes on that pit of yours? The self-pitying person said, you should have seen my pit, it was much deeper. The counselor said, just relax and don't think about the pit. The optimist said, cheer up, things could be worse. The pessimist said, be prepared, things are going to get worse. But Jesus, seeing the man, loved him and lifted him up out of the pit. See, brethren, only Christians can sing what we just sang earlier. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, when love lifted me. This morning, are you in a pit? Listen, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're in a pit. You're in a pit of sin and certain destruction. But the good news is this morning, regardless of how deep that pit is, whatever sins that got you in that pit, God is there wanting to rescue you. It's his desire to rescue you. You just got to grab his hand. He'll pull you up out of that pit when you obey the gospel, when you're immersed into Christ with a responsive faith. If that describes you this morning, we'd love to do that. For you. Or maybe you've done that and along the way you lost your way, you fell back into the pit, back into a lifestyle of sin. Again, God is longing to rescue you from that pit. Just grab his hand and he'll lift you back up. If you have a spiritual need this morning that we can help you with or just need prayers of encouragement, don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.